Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading from John 5. Let us pray as we continue to hear the word of God. Lord, your word is a lamp for our feet. It's a light for our path. May it ever shine brightly on your church to give us faith, understanding, the gift of the Spirit. All these things give us, we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, First Lutheran, it's time for a pop quiz. Paper, pencil, minds, ears. No one's responding. You're not scared of me, are you? We're going to have a pop quiz. Even if you don't write down the answers, I have three simple questions. If you miss one, I expect you to review your confirmation. These are easy questions. Question number one, what are the two main teachings of the Bible? Two main doctrines are the? Very good. You got one right. Anybody miss it? Confirmation awaits if you miss that one. Law, gospel. Question two, easy. What is the law? There's several answers. The law is what God demands. What does God demand? Be perfect. Be righteous. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor yourself. That's the law. What's the gospel? If you miss this one, you take confirmation twice. What's the gospel? What God has done in Christ and does in Christ and will do in Christ. In the giving of Jesus and his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, forgiveness, salvation, baptism, communion, absolution. That's the gospel. The gospel is Jesus. He's the gospel. The living, breathing Jesus is with us. Law, gospel. I begin asking those simple questions because I believe this gospel lesson from John 5 is a vivid picture, a vivid illustration of the working of the law and the gospel. It's beautiful. And there are many stories, but certainly this story, a beautiful illustration of the effects of the law, what God intends to do with the law, and then the gospel. It's all right here of how God wants to operate in our lives too. We learn three things about the law in this story, and we learn three things about the gospel. A little review today. Law, gospel. Why does God give us this? What's God want to do with me as I sit in a pew? First of all, we begin with the man, and not just this man, but many of the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. We begin with this man and these other people who are under the weight of the law. And we learn, first of all, about the law, three things. We learn the law knocks us down. The law of God is here to knock us down off of our high horse. Knock us down on our knees where we're crawling and begging. The law weakens us before God. That's all by God's intention that we ever desire the strong one who is Jesus. God preparing this man over 38 years to meet Jesus. Notice two significant things here. And these aren't just little things that don't matter. They matter. Everything matters. Notice they're at the pool called Bethesda, which means mercy. And there are five roofed colonnades. Most all interpreters that I read see the five roofed colonnades, and they made these porches. They would lay on them or around them. These five colonnades represent the five books of Moses. What are they? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And in those five books, you have the law given at least two times. Be perfect. Love God. Love your neighbor. Be perfect. Love God. Love your neighbor. That's the law. We get it in Exodus. Leviticus has laws. And Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. And what's the law do? The law knocks us down. Leaves us weakened, lame, and paralyzed, and blind. That's all the law can do, that we need Jesus. And how long has the man been sick? This is significant. 38 years. This would recall the people of Israel who were broken by God's law out in the desert. They were out there 40 years, but they wandered for 38. They come out of the Red Sea. Within 2 years, they are at the entrance of the Promised Land. But because of their unbelief and their disobedience, God causes them to wander like lame, blind people for 38 years to humble them, to knock them down. You need me, people. I'm your salvation. The law knocks us down, crawling, begging before God. We come to church, we get knocked down if we let it hit us pretty hard. Maybe you come to church and say, you're happy, life is good, I'm healthy, I got a good job, I'm making money, my teams are winning, it's a good life, I'm so happy. And look at me, I'm so good, I'm so wonderful. And then we hear the words, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us, and then we confess our sins. If we take that seriously, it knocks us down. I'm not near as great as I think I am. And I shouldn't dare think I'm better than my neighbor over here. I'm knocked down and humbled. Secondly, the law puts us out. The law always leaves us outside. We don't get in by the law. Significance, they are by the sheep gate. It's very significant. The sheep gate was the northern gate into the temple. It led into the temple. These guys are outside of the temple by the sheep gate. They're not quite sheep. They can't get to the gate. They're not welcome to the temple. They're outside, begging, crawling. They'd love to get in the temple, but they're unclean back then. They're sinners. You can't come to the temple when you're blind and lame and you have sickness. You're unclean. You're not welcome. Stay out. You're not sheep. They long to be sheep, to be cared for by their shepherd, but they're outside. That's where the law leaves us. You're trying to make it to God by obeying the law. You're left out. Crawling, begging, and weakened. Every time you hear, be perfect, it makes you weaker. Because I'm not perfect. You hear it again, be perfect. I can't be perfect, I'm even weaker. Be perfect, obey. I can't obey, I'm even weaker. I'm lamer than I was before. I'm crawling and begging. And also the man is outside of the pool. This pool, by the grace of God, somehow healed people sporadically. Many believe an angel came and stirred the water occasionally and people could get in and be healed of their disease. And the man is close. He's right there for 38 years, but he never gets in. He's left out. You can imagine him trying and trying and trying. He even says so. I get down there, but someone always is in before me. He tries and tries. He's so close. You can imagine many times in 38 years, he's right there. I can see I'm going to get in. Oh, doggone it, that guy beat me. Somebody grab him out and put me in. Never makes it. Always left out, frustrated, and still sick as can be. And we have this sense in our lives too. Sometimes we say, you know, I've conquered lying and deceiving people. I no longer lie and deceive. I've conquered that sin. I'm there. I've done it. And then we lie and deceive. I've overcome cursing and swearing. I'm not going to curse and swear ever again. I'm going to obey God. But then we go curse and swear. I've overcome lust. I've overcome greed. I'm not going to gossip anymore. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try and not gossip. But then we gossip. And we're greedy, maybe more so than before. Left out. Not good enough. Always somebody there before me. My effort doesn't do it. And all your good efforts, all your good sincerity under the law doesn't get you in. You're left out. And the law, thirdly, leaves us all alone. The man says to Jesus, I have no one to put me into the pool. I have no friend, no helper. I'm all alone. Why doesn't somebody help this poor guy who's been laying there for 38 years? I'll tell you a couple reasons. Number one, the rest of the people there are sick and blind and paralyzed. They can't help themselves, let alone help this guy. And so I cannot help you with your sins. I got too many of my own. How can I help you with yours? And how can you help me with mine? We all have our sins steeped up. We're all lame and paralyzed and sick. We have no one to help us. We can't help each other. That's under the law. That's how it is. We're all left alone. Survival of the fittest. Also, another reason, you see the cold-heartedness of people. I'm going to get in that water before you do. I'm going to beat you. That's life under the law. I'm better than you. I'll get in before you. I'll beat you out. I'm deserving of God's mercy more than you, because I've done a lot less than you have. That's all miserable life under the law. You know, I heard a true story on the radio this week of two truck drivers that were fighting over territory. You know what these truck drivers were doing? They weren't UPS drivers. They weren't semi drivers out on the interstate battling for a lane. These two truck drivers were selling ice cream. They were our beloved ice cream truck drivers with the little song playing, and they were arguing among themselves about territory, and they were playing their jingle louder than the other guy, and the police had to be called out to settle the fight between ice cream truck drivers. That's the pathetic world we live in. My territory. I'm in the pool first. I'm better than you. I give more effort. You're down, I'm up. That's the pathetic, miserable life of the law. And this man feels the full weight of it. But then, he meets the gospel. All that's intended by God, because God loves this poor soul. God puts him in that situation so he's prepared to meet the gospel. And how he longs for the gospel. And what's the gospel? The gospel is Jesus. The living Jesus. Don't ever think of the gospel as just some idea that God had that maybe we want to consider now and then, some option of how to be saved. Nor is the gospel just some simple little word here or there. It's much deeper than that. The gospel is a person. The gospel is the living presence of Christ among us. The living one right there. And oh, how this guy's prepared for the gospel. Three things about the gospel. The law knocks us down, intended by God, because we're so proud and arrogant. The gospel raises us up. What's Jesus do for the guy immediately? Do you want to be healed, first of all? Do you really want to end your miserable, pathetic life? Do you really want, you've been 38 years, do you really want to be healed? You've got to ask a lot of people, you want to keep living in your sin? You want your life to be this miserable, people? This sad? Is that really what you want? I have one who can save you and deliver you. His name is Jesus. Let me tell you about him. And how Christ raises him up. At once the man was healed, took up his bread, and walked. Notice the healing of Jesus. The gospel works immediately. At once he's healed. There's no progression here. Well, give it till tonight and you might be healed. You'll feel better tonight or tomorrow or the next week. Immediately he's healed. That's the gospel. It works immediately. You're forgiven, I proclaim you, which means you're forgiven right now. You're washed right now. You have it right now. Not later when you improve your life or you do something good for God. Not at all. You're forgiven right now. You're washed right now. You're in right now. And then certainly in heaven we'll be there and it'll all be glorious. We'll have a brand new body immediately. We don't have to wait around for to get a new body. We have it immediately. Don't we? It's immediate. Secondly, the gospel works completely. Gives complete healing. The man doesn't need therapy. You know, you'd think he hadn't walked for 38 years, he wouldn't know how to walk. He would need some kind of therapy. He needs something to strengthen his legs a little bit. You haven't used your legs for 38 years. But the guy's entire strength is renewed immediately. He's completely renewed. And he can walk and take up his mat. He'd been lying on it. Now it'll lie on my shoulder. I'm strong. That's the gospel. Immediate healing. Complete healing. All our sins forgiven. Even the ugly ones are washed away. We are totally God's children, not halfway. We have eternal life totally, not halfway. We have the Spirit totally, not halfway. It's all ours in Christ this very day. His body, his blood, not half of it, but all of it is here for me. Complete, total, immediate healing. What a God we have. I wake up, the alarm may go off at 6:30, 7 o'clock. And does Pastor Busher say, rise and shine, it's a new day, up at Adam Paul. No, what's my first word? My back. If it's not my back, my knees. Oh my goodness, lose some weight, buddy. My ankles. My eyes, I can't see a cotton picking thing. My head hurts. And you're the same way, even you kids can hardly get out of bed. It takes a while to get warmed up. It doesn't take a while for the gospel to warm us up and heal us. It's all yours today. Secondly, the law puts us out. The gospel brings us in. You know where the man goes right after he's healed? Guess where he goes? Into the temple. He goes, no doubt, through the sheep gate. He's in the temple. He's pure. He's clean. Jesus not only heals his legs, he heals his heart, giving him faith, washing away his sins. That's the real healing that Jesus gives, the legs certainly too. And our legs and bodies in heaven too. We long for that. This man is in, but he's not just simply in the physical building of the temple. He is in the kingdom of God. He is in the church. He's connected to Christ. He's in Christ. He's in God. He has all the blessings of God. He is in a child of the living God, a sheep of the good shepherd. He's in. It's a great picture, this story of holy baptism. It's not a baptism, but certainly we see it as a prefiguring of baptism. You have water, and you have the Word, who is Jesus speaking the Word. Get up, take up your bed, and walk. A prefiguring of Christian baptism, where the Holy Spirit stirs the water for us, for all of us, and we are healed of our woes. And it's all by God's grace. Jesus doesn't ask the man to make some effort to do something. It's pure grace, folks. He, by the law, is trying and trying and trying, effort, to get in the water. It doesn't work. You may try and try to please God, try and try to get in there, but it's not going to work. It's all by the grace of God and the grace of Jesus coming to you. He doesn't go to Jesus. Jesus comes to him, and he hardly even wants Jesus. No one can help me. I don't. Who are you? And yet, my word, you're healed. Walk. It is pure, unconditional grace. And a man gets up and walks. This is baptism. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. If at first you don't succeed, what? A bunch of heretics. That's the law. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Nonsense. If at first you don't succeed, trust in Jesus, who succeeds for you and causes you to rise up and walk. That's faith. Last of all, the gospel assures us that we are never alone. For 38 years, this guy has no friends. He's a piece of the scenery. No one even looks at him anymore. He's been there 38 years, and there he is. No one talks to him. No one cares about him. No one will even help the guy get in the water after 38 years. Pointless. Who are you? Many people probably don't even know the guy's name. He has no friend. Oh, what a friend he has in Jesus. The good shepherd has arrived. And the good shepherd sees him. Note the language, he saw him. Nobody else sees him. Jesus sees him. And sees he's been suffering a long time. He sees you in your need. Gives the word of grace and heals him. And is a friend forever. He's now with Jesus in paradise forever. He hears the sermon today, perhaps. He rejoices in the sermon about him. He's with Christ forever and ever. Our little dog, Ted, got sick this past week. Had a cough. He was coughing around the house as a dog coughs, and he vomited a couple times too around the house. I don't know what he got in, but he got into something. Now, when our dog Ted was coughing and vomiting, what was my reaction as the master of the house? Did I say, "Oh, Teddy, let me hold you. Let me hug you. Let me pet you and comfort you"? Jeff, you're a veterinarian. Sorry, I didn't do that. Okay? There was no comfort for the animal, no holding the animal, no petting the animal. What did I say? Get the dog outside. Ooh, sick. Girls, you clean up the vomit. You won the cotton picking dog to begin with. It's your dog now. Clean it up. Get out of here. Get the dog out of here. I don't get sick by a dog. We come today, and Jesus doesn't say, "Ooh, sick. You're evil, you despicable people. Get out of my sight. Ooh, you bunch of sick people around the pool. Leave. I'm the Holy One of God." Rather, he puts his arms out. "Come to me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am your salvation. I'll make it better." Law, gospel, the power of God to save someone. Do we need the law? Let's hear an amen. Amen. And do we need the gospel? A louder amen. Amen. A little louder. Amen. Amen. We thank and praise God for law, gospel. Amen.